I'm going to preach a message this morning, Tell the Good News. And again, I'll just read quickly those two verses that Adam read for us a minute ago. This is from the Christmas story as recorded in Luke chapter 2. And the angel said unto them, the shepherds, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings, good news of great joy, delivered in this particular case to a group of shepherds, but they went and told it to others as they went into Bethlehem to see the Christ child. And down through the ages, the 2,000 and some years that have passed since that event happened, it has been told over and over and over again, the good news that was delivered that night on the hills around Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Do you ever stop and think how many times in the Bible that somebody had the privilege and the responsibility of delivering good news? I mean, the Bible is just packed with illustration after illustration of people that got to go to somebody or to a bunch of somebodies and deliver good news, good tidings of great joy. Noah did when he went home that day to his family and said, Okay, boys and daughter-in-laws and wife, the ark is done. All these 100 years we've been working to build the ark, and I think they were all involved in it one way or another, says it's completely done. And God has told us to go on in. That was a day of good news, a day of good tidings. Joseph's brothers in the book of Genesis, later on in the book of Genesis, after Noah, got to deliver good news. They got to go back home and tell their dad, Jacob, said, Dad, you know, we thought Jacob, or Dad, who was Jacob, Dad, we thought Joseph was dead. Joseph is really not dead. He's the second in command in Egypt, and he sent us home to get you and all our families to bring back. He said, the famine's going to last another 5 years, and he's going to take care of us for the next 5 years over in Egypt. That was good news to tell a father that was still grieving over a son that he thought was dead, that son was alive, and that he wanted him to come so that he could take care of him. Moses got to deliver good news when he went back to Egypt and told the people that had been slaves for 430 years, and the good news that he delivered was, hey, God has seen your hardship. God has seen what you've been experienced the last 430 years, and he has sent me to lead you out of this place. You're going to have freedom. We're going to go to a land that God has prepared for us, the land of Canaan, the promised land, and we're going to go. And I get to tell you that news, that get ready because we're going to leave. He got to deliver good tidings. Joshua did. Joshua, after being the second in command to Moses as they wandered 40 years in the wilderness and Moses had died, Joshua got to stand up one day and say, get ready, because what we've looked forward to the last 40 years is going to happen today. We're going to cross the Jordan River and we're going to go into the land of Canaan and we're going to possess the land that God has prepared for us. Ruth did. Ruth got to go home to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and said, Naomi, I met a man today that was so kind to me. I got to glean in his field. And I think he told the harvesters to let a little bit fall on purpose. Because look at everything I've gathered up today. And he told me that when I got thirsty, I could come over and drink out of the bucket of water that they'd drawn for the reapers that worked in the field. And he was so sweet to me. So Ruth got to go home and share good news with Naomi. And you can go through the Bible, and then page after page after page, there's somebody that's delivering good tidings, good news to a person, to a group of a few people, to a nation. Because God is a God of good news. God is a God of good tidings. Now, I want to say three things about good news, and then I want to go back and I want to apply that to the good news that the angels delivered that night on the hills around Bethlehem. Number one, good news usually comes with bad news. I mean, I mentioned it before. You've heard the saying, I got good news and bad news. Oftentimes, good news comes as a result of things being bad or bad news. It was in the case of Noah. Noah said, I've got good news. The ark is done. I mean, after 120 years, we've been working on this big boat, and it's finally done. God said, go on. That's the good news. The bad news is, it's going to rain. Right, Tim? It's going to rain. And the earth is going to be flooded. And the fountains of the deep are going to break open. And everything that's not in the ark is going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. Joseph's brother, when they went back to Jacob, they said, hey, we got good news. That son that you thought was dead, Joseph, he's not dead. He's still alive. And you wouldn't believe it, Dad. He's a second in command in Egypt. But the bad news is, the famine that we've experienced for the last 2 years is going to last another five. And so we got to pack up and we got to move to Egypt because Joseph said if we came, he'd take care of us. Moses had good news. Now again, his good news followed bad news. The bad news was the nation of Israel had been in captivity in Egypt for 430 years. They had been slaves. They had to work and build the cities that Pharaoh wanted building. They couldn't own any property. They couldn't go on vacation. None of the things that we enjoy. They were slaves. They had a life of hardship. And so the good news that Moses delivered that, hey, you're going to be free. We're going to be free. And we're going to go to that place that God has provided us followed a time, a long time of bad news. And the same thing with Joshua. When Joshua stood before the people that day and said, okay, get ready. We're going to cross the Jordan River. We're going to go into the promised land. We're going to finally possess that land that God has prepared for us. It followed bad news because they'd been wandering in circles waiting for everybody over 20 years old to die. They had funerals every day because of the people's disobedience. So good news usually comes or follows bad news. Number two, good news is usually directed at somebody. It is directed at somebody. In Noah's case, when he said the ark is done, he not only directed it to his family, but he directed to everybody that would listen to him. You know, it doesn't say in the Bible, but I think they probably called him Crazy Noah. I mean, here he is, he's building this boat, big boat, not just a little rowboat, but a big boat. And he wasn't even near a lake, and he wasn't near water. And I'm sure there were a crowd of people, especially as the ark got close to being done. They had to come and see what Crazy Noah was doing. And so they saw this big boat, and when it was done, Noah not only got to go to his family, but he got to go to everybody that was gathered around and say, hey, look, I got good news for you. This ark is done. The bad news is there's going to be a flood, and everybody that's not on the ark is going to die. I'm inviting you all on. I made room for all of you. And I believe there was room in the ark for every person that was under Noah's voice. They could have got on and been saved from the flood. And in Noah's case, the news was directed to everybody that could hear him. In Joseph's brother's case, the news was directed at one person. Basically, Jacob, Joseph's dad. Dad, we got news for you. Joseph is still alive. In Moses' case, the news was directed to the Israelites, those that had been slaves for 430 years, every person that called themselves a Hebrew. The news was directed to every single one of them. Same thing in Joshua's case. When he stood up and said, hey, get ready, we're crossing the river, it's time to go into the land, he was directing that news to every single person. And so Good news usually comes with bad news or after bad news. Good news is directed. And get this, number three, good news is not news till it's told. Good news is not news till it's told. And by the way, any news, good news, bad news, it is not news till it's told. Until that news is shared, until that news is proclaimed, until that news is made public, it is not news at all because people don't know. They don't know. I mean, if Moses would have been quiet and not said, hey, we're going to be delivered. God's going to free us from Egypt. Wouldn't have been news at all. He knew it, but nobody else did. Same thing with Joshua. When God said to Joshua, okay, tell the people to get ready. It's time to cross the Jordan River. We're going into the promised land. If Joshua hadn't told everybody, it wouldn't have been news at all. Good news or any news is not news until it's told. Now, I want to apply those same 3 points to the news that the angels delivered the shepherds that night when they said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels didn't say it, but they could have said, hey, shepherds, I got good news and bad news. The good news is the Messiah, the one that the Jewish nation has been waiting for, the one that will save you. And they thought, by the way, most of the Jews thought it was going to be a political savior, a military savior. They were under the Roman rule at that time, and most of the Jews were looking for a king that was going to come back and set up his kingdom on earth. And by the way, just because it doesn't happen yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. One day, just like the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you may think by looking at what's going on in the world today that God's changed his plan and that's not going to happen. I got news for you. God doesn't change his plan. I got news for you. He's still going to keep his promise. And one day Jesus will come as king. One day he will reign as Lord. And every knee of every atheist that says, I don't believe there is a God, I don't believe God has the power, will bow the knee and confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming. It wasn't this day. This day the shepherds announce the birth of a Savior. A Savior. And they could have said, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is that the Savior is born. And God has put into action the plan that he had before the world was created, that his son was going to come to earth and live among human beings, live a perfect life, and pay for our sins. The bad news that they could have said that needs to be shared as we share this good news is that if you reject Jesus Christ, then your sins will separate you from God forever. The bad news is that we're all sinners. The bad news is that because we're all sinners, we owe a penalty or a wage for that sin. The bad news is the Bible tells us what that penalty is. That penalty is to be separated from God. You see, people think, well, I won't go to hell until I die. No, if you've rejected Jesus Christ, you're already suffering hell today because you're separated from God. The Bible says you are under his condemnation right now. I mean, there will come a day when you will go to that place called hell, and it's a place of fire, the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But there are people today that are suffering hell, separation from God, because they've rejected the Savior that the angels announced. The bad news is, because we are sinners, we are going to be separated from God. The good news is, we have a Savior. That's what the angels were announcing. Unto you is born this day a Savior, somebody that will pay for your sins, somebody that will suffer the penalty for your sins so that you don't have to. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us when he went to Calvary's cross. As he hung on that cross, God turned his back on his son because he bore all our sin. And for that period of time when the sun refused to shine and the earth was in darkness for that 3 hours, God separated himself from his son, and Jesus Christ suffered our hell for us. He was separated for the first time and the only time in all eternity from God the Father. And he did that to pay for my sins. And he did that to pay for your sins. And so the good news that the angels were sharing can only be understood as you take it in the context of the bad news. The bad news is we're sinners and we deserve to go to hell. The good news is that we have a Savior and he came and died in our place and suffered what we owed. And if we would receive him, he would make us part of God's family, forgive our sins. Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received them, him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so the shepherd says, for unto you is born this day a Savior who will save you from sin's penalty, a Savior who will save you from separation from God, a Savior that will save you from hell. That was the good news, that we have a substitute. Born of a virgin, one that lived a perfect life, one that went to Calvary's cross and suffered what we owed. So good news comes and can only be understood in the context of the bad news that it saves us from. Number two, good news is directed. Now you might think, well, in this particular case, the good news that the angels had was directed to a group of shepherds. And I enjoyed reading what the author of the adult Sunday school lesson said, got you to thinking about why. Why would God direct that news to shepherds? They were just poor, ordinary, common folks. You would think the angels might visit the royalty of the day and announce it to the king of the Jews. You would think that the angels might go to the religious people of the day, the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, and deliver the message. You might think that he would go to those that ruled politically, the governors of the day. But God chose not to do that because he was sending us all a message. He wanted us all to know that the news that the angels shared with the shepherds that day was not just directed to the shepherds, but was directed to everybody. You see, if he'd only gone to the religious people, then some of us might think, well, Jesus must be the good news about Jesus coming must be only for religious people. If he'd gone only to the king, some people might think, well, the salvation that the Savior offers is only to those that hold political office. If he would have went to the wealthy people, we might think, well, the salvation that the Savior offers is only to those that have things. But he went to shepherds, just common, ordinary people who had no station in life, who had no great wealth, who had no title, who had no position, just common, ordinary folks, so that as we shared the message that the angels shared with the shepherds, we can say that the good news of the Savior is for everybody. Everybody. That's why the Bible says, for whosoever shall believe on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever believeth in Jesus shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the message of salvation that the angels delivered was not just for one person. It was not just for a small group of people, the shepherds. It was not just for a large group of people, the people that lived in that day. The angel's message is a message that is directed to every single person. Every single person in this room, every single person this morning that's sitting in churches and hearing this same kind of message, every single person that maybe will pick up a track or something that has the same message in. God wants us to know that the message of good tidings, of great joy, which he delivered that night to the shepherds on the hills of Bethlehem, is a message that directed to every single person. There's not one person left out. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you are in your life. I don't care what the circumstances of your life are this morning. I want you to know that the good tidings of great joy, and the angel said it, which shall be to all people, includes every single one of us. Not a person excluded. Not a person left out. Say, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. I know what kind of Savior you have. I know what kind of God is that loves you. He loves you regardless of what's happened in your life. If God only loved those people that deserved us, none of us would be here this morning. None of us. And there's some godly people in this room, some people that are wonderful examples. But none of us, if God only loved those of us that deserved us, there would be none of us that would fall under God's love. But I'm so glad that God said, I loved the world. Every single person, not a person excluded. You might say, you mean God loved a man like Adolf Hitler? Yes, he did. You mean God loves these people that commit these heinous crimes against children? Yes, he does. Your preacher don't. I'd send all child abusers to hell right now. I'll just tell you, I'm not very Christian in that regard. I'll confess my sins to you this morning. But I'm glad that we have a God that knows how to love regardless of what we've done. And he offers the message of good news and that good tidings to every single person. It's directed to all of us. And then number three, this good news is not good news till it's told. Till it's told. You see, the shepherds didn't know about it till the angels came and told them. All the people that the shepherds told, the Bible says as they went running to Bethlehem, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. They went running into the streets of Bethlehem. They said, man, you'll never guess what happened. We were tending our sheep and an angel came and he said he had good news and great news and good tidings that will be to all people. He told us a Savior was born and the sky was filled with angels and they sang, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And they told us we'd find a little baby in a barn, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And we went to Bethlehem and we found him just like the angel said. They were so excited they couldn't hold it back. They told every single person on the way to the barn and back that God had kept his promise. And those people, it wasn't good news to them till the shepherds told them. It wasn't good news to you that are here this morning that are saved until your dad and mom told you about it, or your grandpa or grandma, or a Sunday school teacher, or a pastor, or some other Christian in your life. It wasn't good news to you until somebody sat down and explained to you that you were a sinner and there was a penalty for sin. And God paid the penalty and Jesus died for our sins. And if we receive him, we can be part of God's family. It wasn't good news until somebody told you. And there are people that are in our lives today. They live next door to us. They work beside us. They go to school with us. We run into them at the grocery store, at the barber shop, or at the beautician. I mean, there are people all around us today that don't know the good news that the angels delivered to the shepherds that night because somebody hasn't told them. And it isn't good news until it's told. You know, I wish we could catch the excitement of the shepherds. I wish we could feel what it felt like to be just sitting there and all of a sudden the sky light up and there's an angel. You say, preacher, how do you think the shepherds knew it was an angel? I don't know. I think they just knew. They looked up in the sky and they saw an angel. And an angel spoke to them. Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then the whole sky was filled with angels and they sang. And I like what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I just wish we could catch the excitement of the shepherds that night. They were going to see what God had promised. And as they went, they were excited about sharing the story that the Savior had come. You know, if we think about what we were saved from, we might be a little bit more excited and bold in telling other people. If we would remember that we were headed to the devil's hell, if we would remember that we were headed to that place where there is fire in the bottomless pit, where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, if we would remember that we deserve to go there and be there forever until we heard the good news, until somebody told us about the Savior, until somebody got a hold of us and said, listen, I have some news you need to hear. You're a sinner. You're going to be separated from God. But God loved you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. And every person that's here this morning that's a Christian can probably look to one or two people in their life and say, I'm so glad that they didn't get over getting saved. I'm so glad that they told me about Jesus. I'm so glad they made me listen to the story of the Savior. There are people that you and I know that we need to get a hold of. And we need to say, listen. I've got some news for you. You need to hear it. I was thinking last night as I was going over my notes, you know, if I had discovered a cure for cancer. I say I discovered it last night, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. You know where I go? I go over to Phyllis's house, and I go over to Bev's house, and I go over to everybody in this church that's fighting that dreaded disease. I say, preacher, you go at 11 o'clock at night? Yeah. I mean, even though Terry might get mad if you woke him up out of his beauty sleep at 11 o'clock at night, yeah, it wouldn't make any difference. I got the cure. Even though Larry might get upset if you get him out in his stocking cap and answer the door at 1 o'clock in the morning, yeah, it wouldn't make any difference. I have something they need. And I don't want them to wait. I want them to have it right now. I want them to be free of that disease. You know, there's people we know that have the disease of sin, and we have the cure. We have the answer. And we need to go tell them. We need to go tell them, because it's not good news until it's told. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can do it this morning. In fact, God wants you to do it this morning. He says, today's the day, now is the accepted time. And you can tell God that you're a sinner. You know there's a penalty for that sin, but that you believe that Jesus died in your place and you're receiving him this morning. If you want to do that, we'll help you. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you verses from the Bible that says exactly that, that's what you need to do to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's stand together, bow our heads. Father, thank you for the story of the angels and the shepherds. Thank you for that good news that you brought forth to earth that night. And I pray if there's somebody here this morning that hasn't claimed that good news for themselves, they can't say they haven't heard it now. They've heard it. And they need to act upon it. They need to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And I pray, Father, whether that's a man or a woman, a teenager, somebody that's been here hundreds of times, or somebody that's maybe this is their first or second time here, doesn't matter. I pray if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, they would do it today. Father, bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to realize there's people in our life that need to hear that story, and we need to tell them. So speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.